Welcome into an all-new episode of Panther Tap. I'm Curtis Round, joined by Bryson Carbley. Ricky Raines coming to you guys on a Wednesday evening. Man, we're off to a smooth start already. I love it.
Off and running.
Well-oiled machine. But yeah, when you've been doing this for a year, you kind of figure it out eventually, slowly but surely. But hey, man, we got a massive episode for you guys tonight. We're going to be talking about offensive line grades. Blueprint just dropped this evening. We'll be talking about that. We also hit 1,000 subscribers. Amen to that. Less than a year, and we made it happen. We had like 88 videos, so I love it. Very stoked about that. And then we have a big thank you, Rick. And we honestly, we got to thank the subscribers. We'll get to that in a little bit. But we also have a pretty big reveal tonight, something we've been talking about for a while, and that's a new logo and a whole new interface here for this stream we got going on. So we'll be showing you all shortly, but let's start out with Bryce and Ricky. How are you guys doing tonight?
Hopefully better than your internet, Curtis. I'm doing good, man. I'm super excited and stoked to you hit that 1K mark, like you said, Curtis. We've been doing the podcast for, I don't know, 4 or 5 years, but been on YouTube for just about over a year. And to hit 1,000 is super exciting, and I can't thank everyone enough that tunes in and listens to us drunkenly talk about the Carolina Panthers, and me saying Hunter Renfro has the Benjamin Button's disease, and still tuning in week out. I'm just super appreciative of you guys and our listeners. So I'm excited to do this because of them.
Yeah, well said. What a cool moment, man! 1,000 subscribers. You know, it's one of those things where, like, it seems silly to talk about, like, oh, how many followers or subscribers you have. But, like, we work pretty hard to put this stuff together. We enjoy doing the show, but, like, we work really hard for it. So, like, the acknowledgement and that achievement, man, and when you set a goal and you reach it, it's pretty cool. There's a lot of great podcasts out there that already have it that would look at us and be like, hey, that's small. Whatever, man. I'm going to celebrate the small wins, too. You know, and as Bryson just said, we've made it through terrible analogies. We've made it through Benjamin Button diseases. We've made it through all kinds of things. Spotted cow beer not making its way back to North Carolina. I mean, we have gone through hell and back here on this Panthers on Tap show. Really excited to reveal the new look as well. We've got really cool stuff in store for that. So, man, I'm living the dream. I'm happy to be here today.
Yeah, I'm pumped, man. I'll never forget when Bryson and I dreamed up this idea to do the podcast, and it started off very slow. We did episodes all the damn time, and our initial goal was to have a guest almost every week and do something a little bit different than everyone else is doing. And we have grown so much since 2021, and we finally broke onto YouTube last year. I wish we would have done it sooner, and that was to my fault more than Bryson. But yeah, man. I mean, it took off, and I've always been told the first 1,000 is the hardest to get, and we did it in less than a year, and I'm going to take that to the bank, and I think it'll soar from here. So I'm pumped. I appreciate everyone who's listened to us from the beginning, who's started watching us on YouTube. Everyone, old and new, we appreciate every single one of you guys. You don't know how much it means to us for the support. So I love to see the chat here.
I was going to say, it's also incredible that, like, we've done this for as long as we have, a year on YouTube, and yet Curtis's internet just remains back 4 years ago. Like he refuses to take the internet with him into the future. It's a remarkable thing.
Yeah, I wish I could do better with this internet. I really do.
See how long it took for him to respond to that? It's because he didn't hear it until like Thursday.
Let's go to our chat here for a second. Ricky's mom always tuning in. We appreciate it.
What's up, mom?
Reigns.
Mama, I made it.
We got, for Panthers fans only, we appreciate you guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going through here. I'm sorry if I'm clicking on a bunch of random shit. Y'all's voice in the fan base a lot louder than 1,000. Don't forget what y'all built. Appreciate you, Dylan.
Oh, yeah, Dylan. Appreciate that, man. For Panthers fans only, awesome podcast as well, man. Awesome dudes that run that show.
Made for More. Congrats, fellas. Appreciate you tuning in.
The man. Hello.
The guy who comes in every week with a super pretty damn early on, Zachary Hernandez. $5. Congrats on the K subscribers, fellas. We appreciate you, Zachary. Hopefully you can hear me with this terrible internet.
Here, I got three cheers for you too, Zach. Hold your beer up. You ready?
Face. What else here?
Ricky's going crazy with the soundboard tonight.
I'm doing all the different things, man. 1,000 subscribers, new look.
Curtis's Wi-Fi still wears a mask.
Yeah. Curtis is going to watch this episode. He'll see
what's up, y'all, later. Joshua. Oh, yeah. I've seen it before. I know exactly what's going on. Salute, fellas, major cats. We appreciate you, Dougie. Chris Diller, can't wait to hear your takes on the blueprint episode. Yeah, it was a good one. I honestly just finished it up like 15 minutes ago. Not going to lie to y'all. And I scrubbed through the Wharton fishing part because I needed to get through all the other, I needed to get through the more important shit in the episode. So I'll have to go back and watch it. But hey, we always start with this. What do you guys, what do you got?
I'll start it off. I think tonight's a super special episode, so it calls for a super special drink. And I couldn't think of anything more special than my favorite bourbon, Eagle Rare. So I'm sipping on that right now. I don't have much left. This is like the end of a bottle. I have an unopened one in on my bar cart, but I'm going to finish this tonight. And then I have a blueberry ale after I finish that to drink. But I figured, you know, I've been wanting to drink it on an episode, and why not tonight? Because it's super special. And like I said, super thankful for everyone that tunes in and subscribes. We really do appreciate all of you.
That's awesome. You know, I'm also jealous that I didn't think to wear my Roaring Riot shirt because I just got that in the mail today. Yeah. But I am sporting the Roaring Riot koozie that came with there the membership kit.
I need to do that.
Which, by the way, this logo right here, beautiful looking logo, right? This was designed by Joe Bello. You got to remember who made the Teteroa McMillan poster that we gave away with the pictures. Super talented dude. So shout out Joe on that. But I am drinking. It is called Hazy Days. This is an IPA from 4001 Yancey Brewery here in Charlotte in collaboration with Southern Tier. And I was contemplating, I was kind of holding off to see if either of you boys broke out the good hard stuff tonight for a little bit of cheers. And, you know, maybe when the reveal actually happens and the drum starts rolling, maybe I'd pop out there to the bar in the kitchen as well and grab something to cheers and salute.
Yeah, I need to get something myself. I have like no whiskey here, which is really disappointing. I have Captain in the cupboard upstairs, so that's what I'll be busting out.
I think he said he has Captain Morgan.
Yes, the well is dry here at the Round household, but hey, we're gonna get to it. Sorry, I'm just reading through the chat here.
I can't tell if he's frozen or if he's reading.
Bryson's wonderful wife here. We appreciate her support.
Good to see her in here.
Look how happy he got. That's so sweet. No, that's the best. Good for you. My wife doesn't watch this.
Yeah, same. She and I was like, yep, audio. See you later. But yeah, let's get to it tonight. I think it's time. I'm chomping at the bit to show this off. So are you ready for that, Ricky, or do you need to go grab something?
No, go for it, man. I'll grab something during the betting thing and we'll still have a salute.
Yeah, so I will pop this up here and make sure I do this properly. Let's remove this. So let's say early spring, we started talking about a new logo. And nothing really transpired. And then I think really the ball started getting rolling in April, May of this year. We kind of all put our heads together and started creating our own, you know, prototypes of what we wanted to change in the logo. We kind of put those ideas together. And then Ricky had the fantastic idea, and that's underselling it, to reach out to Joe Bello, who we support all of the stuff that he does and all of his artwork, and reached out to him to try to get a fresh face and someone that is not attached to the brand to give us something that he thought would fit us. So he dreamed up something and it is incredible. He did fantastic work on this, and without further ado, this is the new logo for Panthers on Tap.
Yeah, look at that thing.
Ricky, take it away. Kind of walk us through here what his inspiration.
Yeah, I mean, look, so you can see it, right? You got the Charlotte skyline in the back. That was an important part of either having like the city of Charlotte or Bank of America. But the original thing that, you know, the three of us talked about that we were kind of workshopping, because, you know, we did our own little things in like Canva and all that kind of stuff, just kind of messing around. And we're not like necessarily proficient with it, but we're also not a bunch of nopes, right? But we kept coming up to this thing where, like, I don't know if we want like the beer mug still, if we want like, you know, a beer can, a microphone, like, you know, many other podcast types, type logos have. But then we kind of talked about, what if we had like this, like, retro, almost like beer label look, right? Like, that kind of fits our thing, man. Some of us, we sit here and we'll drink Busch Light, we'll drink PBR, we'll drink Bud Light, we'll drink Coors Banquet. Like, we're not the flashiest, classiest of dudes when we don't have to be. We're just simple, right? And this is like an homage to the city of Charlotte, to the Panthers, to the, you know, the process blue coloring, the old banner behind it with the lettering, man. Like, when I see this, boys, you know what I see? I see my favorite t-shirt. Like, I see my absolute favorite t-shirt that I could put on game day, and it screams Carolina Panthers. It doesn't look, you know, like, you know, oh, you did a good job putting AI on that thing, right? Like, this has character. It has soul. Joe Bello is a artist. Joe Bello is fantastic making Panther stuff because he loves the Panthers the way that we do. I couldn't be happier. I couldn't be more appreciative of Joe and of Curtis and Bryson for being open to like reaching out to somebody else and doing this from an outside sense. I'm super stoked on it, man. I love it.
Yeah. Bryson? Ricky sent this to us after he had finally got it from Joe. We were waiting patiently, and I couldn't have thought of anything more perfect. Like, I could not have imagined this myself, and this is like the logo of my dreams. So I really do like the retro look. The font is perfect, including the Panther and the skyline. I just love it. And Zachary mentioned in the chat, I think you just pulled it up, Ricky, something about merch that may be on the horizon. We might be potentially working on something. So just keep your eyes open for that. But I would love this on a hat. And I love hats. I would wear this hat all the time because this logo, even if it just said Panthers and it wasn't even an on tap logo for us, like, this is right. Something that I would represent right. And wear to Panthers games, wherever, to the grocery store. I just really am a big fan of it. So super excited. Thank you to Joe Bello. You know, this, you can tell he took his time and perfected it for us, and it's perfect. I love it.
Yeah, he crushed it. I think that's what I told you guys when Ricky sent this in the group chat, and I truly did want a fresh look. You know, you get so attached to the brand, you have your own ideas. To have someone coming in from the outside to do it and give something that none of us had put out there was awesome. And he killed it, man. He does great work. My entire basement is loaded with the stuff he has painted over the years. So just appreciate him, and I can't thank him enough, because this is going to catapult us to the next level. Like we said, this is opening us up for merchandise down the line. And this will be very conducive to what we kind of want to do with the future of the podcast. So I'm very excited. Now, we do also have a secondary logo, which will also be paired with merchandise primarily too as well. Mm-hmm. And is this right here. So we are not done. This was another one that Joe had created for us. So another secondary logo, and this is kind of what it looks like side to side. But again, he does great work, and we're excited for this next venture, because I think this is going to be a whole, open up other opportunities for us in the future, which we didn't have. So,
and you know what's cool too is when we're talking about the Roaring Riot, you know, they did the 10-year, it's the 10-year of Roaring Riot, and that's what the new merch and apparel for like the kit, the membership kit came in. They have a bottle opener on it, which is really sick, and it has that same logo from Joe, what he made for Roaring Riot. And when I saw the bottle opener, you know what the first thing I thought of was? This Panthers on Tap secondary logo would be like so perfect on a black bottle opener or even, you know, like stickers, like we talked about, we like to put stickers on coolers and stuff like that. Both of these would be sick vinyl stickers that you could put on things. You could have patches, hats, coffee mugs, I mean, whatever. And I'm not just trying to like say, like, let's make money. I mean, like, just honestly, if I saw somebody like when for Panthers fan only, right, when they made the Carolina Reaper shirts, dude, I wanted it immediately. Like, it was fire, right? Like, don't, not only do I like them and their show and, like, the people behind it, but the apparel itself was just sick looking. And this, to me, just as a Panthers fan, I want this as a Panthers fan. Not even as a Panthers on tap fan. I just want this so that I can wear it around Charlotte, man. Like, this is exactly my style. I absolutely love it, man. Shout out Joe for doing this. And you can see we did, like, the new little background. We couldn't have our old logo with our old overlay and background. So we took the components of it, put it together with a little bit of audio just to remind people it is a podcast, not just a beer can in the future. Dylan, I love that idea, by the way. Get a little home brewing system, make our own Panthers on tap.
Amen to that. Chat, we appreciate you guys. It sounds like everyone is loving it, so we appreciate it. When you do the logo, we, of course, love it, but we hope you guys love it too. And it looks like overwhelmingly across the board. So we appreciate you guys for both the feedback and tuning in tonight, because, you know, the sky's the limit from here. I'm really pumped about the logo, what we can do with it. So let's get to some of the things you guys want us to talk about. And by the way, the bottle opener, I've been thinking about that forever. That needs to happen. Because it's not super expensive to buy. You can buy a shit ton of them. And I really think that would take off. And it fits us. We like to drink beer on the show. And
makes sense.
So, but yeah, let's get to the blueprint. And I'm really happy this pot, it came out today. Because obviously, we're going to talk offensive line. We still were going to talk for an hour at least. That's just how this show goes. But Blueprint really opened up the door, and honestly, I thought offered a lot of insight into the free agents, where they kind of see these guys fitting in with the roster. I don't know if you guys felt that way as well, but it kind of gave you a little bit of knowledge of how you might see some of these guys lining up this season. So, Ricky, let's start with you. You don't have to give us everything. Just give us like one big thought you had or something that, you know, jumped out to you in this episode. Of the second episode of Blueprint.
All right. So I'll do just three type of things real quick that stood out to me. First was a quote from Dave Canales, and it is doubling down on a quote that he gave last year and the identity of this football team and how this team becomes the Carolina Panthers team under Dave Canales. And it's, if we take care of the ball and we go get it, we're a playoff team. Like, that is what he preached last time. Ball security and creating turnovers. We saw this team start to kind of play that way, right? Like, you look at Bryce's last three or four games, good football. He's not turning the ball over. He's taking care of the ball. Now, the defense, they got to start creating some turnovers, but you saw them talk about the players they brought in. You heard them talk about Trayvon Merrick and what they think about him being as a blitzer and creating havoc, right? That's something that they're going to expect from him. The next thing was when they were sitting around and they were talking about the defensive front, and they're like, so you want to go and fix the front? And Brant Dillis asked him that. And he goes, yeah, I want to fix the front. He goes, say less. So then they introduced Turk Wharton. They introduced Bobby Brown. I was thrilled to see the reaction of the front office members and the coaching staff when they talked about Bobby Brown and the addition of Bobby Brown. Because I have been banging that drum for Bobby Brown being my favorite addition on that defensive front. I love Turk too, man. Don't get me wrong. I think a lot of times people think if you say like this is your favorite addition, that it means you didn't like the other one. That's not it, man. I love the cohesiveness of their moves that they made. And they talked about why they made the specific things they did. But Bobby Brown, man, has the potential to be a game wrecker. Like at multiple different alignments, he's a large dude. He is a developing dude. You heard AC talking about him and saying like, look, this dude is getting better progressively, man. And that's scary when you got a guy this large and this talented who is getting better still. So sky's the limit for him. And then Turk Wharton, man, I'll talk about him for a second. That dude is a hard worker and a leader. Like, did you hear him being vocal out there in all of the drills, firing people up, you know, doing the dancing? I love Todd Wash too. Him, Todd Wash's relationship with the defensive line is outstanding. I got to meet Todd back in Spartanburg for training camp and watched wrangling cattle, watch rodeo stuff with him. And the dude knows everything about rodeo. Like, he knows all the rules because he's from where they rodeo a lot, right? And you heard him say, he's like, God bless fucking America. Like that's him through and through, man. Like, that dude is who he sounds like. But I think he was terrific. I just think that, man, you talked about, like, or they talked about this being the hardest working unit. Really fun to see the defensive line and to see the way that they are kind of creating expectations, boys. Like, I really don't think that they're shying away from it. I think this team feels that they should compete, and fans have every right to say the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, this episode was exciting. It really was, to kind of just get the feel overall of, like, how this team is going into this season. And there's, like, legitimate, palpable excitement for this team. And I think that you saw that with the free agent additions, the players that wanted to come here. Like, I forgot who it was that was – I think it was Turk that was talking about Bryce Young and, like, oh, you got one. Like, he's got, like, eyes in the back of his head. Like, I was surprised with, like, his pocket movement, mobility. You know, these guys are excited to play with Bryce and to play with these other players on the Carolina Panthers, which is something – we haven't been able to say for a long time. But of course I got to talk about my guy, Hunter Renfro. He got a little bit of shine, you know, talking about coming back from his, I can't remember exactly what the health concerns were, but he's feeling better now. You know, it was some, I guess like not sickle cell, but like, autoimmune. That's the word. Yeah,
ulcer colitis.
Yeah. An autoimmune, issue, but he's healthy and back now and, you know, looking good. If I saw him on the street and didn't know he's a football player, probably would think he's like an insurance salesman or something. But
yeah, no doubt.
the dude moves crazy on the field. So it was cool to see him. And then Pat Jones, I know Curtis mentioned he skipped the fishing part. I didn't know he had like ties to the area. So that was cool to learn. Yep. That he wanted to kind of quote unquote come home. And then that fish he caught was just so hilarious.
The tiniest bluegill you ever saw, right? Man.
I was laughing out loud at that fish. But Curtis, you got to go back and watch it because it is the tiniest fish you've ever seen. It's like a minnow he catches.
Especially with Pat holding it up, right? Like, he's this gigantic dude. He's holding something this big, man.
It was so funny. But yeah, man, it was just – it continued to build my excitement going into this year. I think that this team is a cohesive unit as a whole. I think inside the building, they're very excited about this season. You know, if they stay healthy, and I hope they do, this team is going to be a team that is going to make some sound, not only NFC South, but possibly NFC. So I'm excited about that. I think that they believe that themselves. Dave Canales, you know, starting the episode with him was just you kind of get the, okay, he's the upbeat guy, blah, 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 blah. He's always positive. But, like, that's him, man. That through and through, he does not change his messaging whatsoever. And I appreciate it about him, his consistency. And, Ricky, you mentioned it, the, you know, take the ball away and take care of it. The same messaging, man, for going into another year of Carolina Panthers football. I can't remember that either, where you kind of have this consistency in messaging from one coach to the same coach in the next season. So, I'm excited about that, but really great episode. I recommend people watch it if you haven't.
Yeah, you know, I said, give me one thing, and Ricky and Bryson took the whole show. So I will try to fill in from what you guys did. One interesting thing, and I'm trying to change our logo on Twitter, so I was half listening to you guys as you guys were talking. There was a point where Jarrell Evero, and I'm hoping maybe Ricky or Bryson can help me here. He said Murphy is probably going to be out of our price range. Was he talking about Byron Murphy?
Because
I thought that was interesting. I thought that tells me that they do think this corner room definitely needs some upgrades. So that was one thing that came to mind. Did anyone mention that? Or are you guys?
That's a great point, too, because Byron has the versatility. So that tells you, too, that they weren't just looking at one type of player, right? They want a nickel safety hybrid type of deal.
So I thought that was interesting. Bryson, you mentioned Wharton. I thought him talking about Bryce Young was great and just shows, you know, what others outside of the team think of him, because you see all the shit online and then you see what an actual NFL player thinks of Bryce Young that's not on the Panthers. I thought Canales talking about Bobby Brown, I mean, he couldn't talk any better about this dude. He was talking, he can play the three, he can play the nose, he can play the four. He's big, he's strong. He knows A'shaun Robinson and AC Carter. And then I thought it was interesting. I can't remember if this was Canales talking or Morgan, but they basically said at the combine, we're basically getting a rookie that's already had a couple years under the belt. They're like, we're basically getting a guy that's here. And they were at the combine when they're talking. I thought that was interesting. So I think they do think this guy is going to be a key cog for this defense, which I know Ricky has spoke very highly of Bobby Brown. And we've all talked about how Shai Tuttle, he really was never the fit at that nose spot. So that I thought was telling. Roseboom was another guy. I don't know if anyone's talked about him, but Canales loved his play style, said he played fast. Evero said he was perfect. That's the quote. He was perfect. He can communicate. He's smart. He's what we want in a locker room. He's tough and durable. Going into this season, not knowing what we know now in Blueprint, I thought Roseboom was going to push that room a little bit. But after watching Blueprint, I think this guy has a legitimate chance to be one of the starters. And if Trevin Wallace ain't playing up to par, isn't ready to go, I think he's going to take his spot. Like, they spoke very highly of him. So anyway, I thought that was interesting. And then Merrig, I thought they revealed a lot about what he's going to play in this defense. He's going to play big nickel. And we talked about this last week. He's going to kind of play all over the field. They like his run stop ability. They like his blitz ability. So I think he's going to be used a lot all over, but he's going to be using that big nickel spot too. So that was another thing that came to mind. And then I thought Patrick Jones, I thought they spoke pretty damn highly. And of course they're going to speak highly of all these guys when they're making a video like this, but there was just some interesting little tidbits talking about loving his frame, setting the edge. He's great speed to power. I think that's what Dan Morgan had said. So anyway, all those things and everything you guys have mentioned it definitely gave you a better perspective of what this coaching staff thinks of these free agents and why they brought them in, and then kind of what their roles could be within this team, which I thought was really cool.
Interesting, the wording on some of the Roseboom stuff, right? Which, first of all, shout out JJ Hardy, Panthers culture, because when we signed Christian Roseboom, you know, he caught a lot of flack, including from me, when he immediately dismissed Trevin Wallace and was like, Roseboom may start over him. It may be Roseboom and Josie Jewell. And what I was going to say about the interesting specific wording that was used is when he talks about intelligence and being able to stay healthy, right, being durable, Josie Jewell's probably biggest knock last season was his inability to stay on the field for the entire season, right? Like, we knew that when he came back, he helped. When he had that green dot, he helped Trevin a lot because Trevin was not ready and Trevin was not able to process everything even for himself, let alone to call out for the defense. And so I think having that Roseboom back there, like you just spoke on, Curtis, it is going to put a little bit of fire underneath Trevin to either sink or swim, because if you got a guy with familiarity and you got a guy that already has the trust of the staff, which is what it sounds like, right? Like, when they talk about his intelligence and knowing what to do, that reads to me a lot like trust from your coaches. And that's imperative. They have mentioned that with this defense from the secondary to the defensive line to the second level of the linebackers, right? They constantly talk about communication and knowing where to be. You heard Todd Wash talk about it, gap and a half. He's like, what are y'all doing? Gap and a half. Like, and it was hilarious, you know, and I don't want to like call anybody out on something negative, but one thing I caught is he said, hey, Crum, we've been doing this for over a year. He's like, come on, get off the bag. Like, that's Jaden Crumity that he's talking to, the 6th-round pick from Mississippi State last season, that he's saying, hey, come on, man. You saw him all over Cam Jackson. He's like, you rookies, man. Like, y'all don't know what to do. Like, you rookies don't know nothing. They had Cam Jackson carrying 14 buckets, too, on the way back to the locker room.
And don't take the card either. You better
Don't take the card either. He said, man, I can't wait to be old. I thought that all of that stuff, Curtis, that you brought up were really good points. The Pat Jones, maybe we don't talk about Pat Jones enough, because there is a real chance, man. I know that a lot of people were really high on DJ Wonnum last season. I know that I've been a little bit more skeptical about that. There's a real chance that they're looking at Pat Jones being their guy, their stalwart at the defensive end or outside linebacker position. Last thing I'll say, too, because I think the three of us might have had this conversation on a show. We talked about the possibilities of the platoons, right? And, like, how big some of these platoons could be with Cam Jackson and A'Shaun and all that. I heard Dave Canales and he says, I mean, Bobby could play the nose. And then you got Derek, Bobby, and then A'Shaun. He goes, oh my God. Like, he's sitting there thinking of it. He's like, these are massive human beings that if you put, if that's your base coming out on run early downs, man, that is crazy. And they talked about it. Bobby could play four. He said he could play five. That's maybe he will. But like three, I think he's very comfortable sliding out to that width. But man, there was a lot of fun stuff. I think it's time for all the people that tell fans to calm down and not put expectations. It's time to listen to what these coaches are saying about this football team because they're putting expectations out there.
One thing that was missing that I would have loved to hear was some of the Milton Williams conversations. I would have loved some behind the curtain on that with, okay, yeah, we talked to Milton. He's got this offer from the Patriots. We're not matching. Or, you know, something like that to kind of give the fans a little bit of peek behind the curtain in that situation.
Yeah,
some of us were very upset.
Reveal that.
You think it would have been like Brant Tillis when he was talking about you want to fix the front? You think like when New England came back, like, so look, or when Milton's people came back, they're like, so look, New England offered this. He goes, say less. You can take it. Like, I'm out. I don't want anything to do with that shit. We'll go grab three or four.
Now, enjoy the contract, brother.
Yeah, enjoy New England. Eat all the clam chowder you can for $60 million, whatever. The other thing, though, that I thought, too, was interesting, and this is you made me think of this, Bryce, when you talk about the free agency stuff that you wanted to find out more about, Brant's wording of saying, we want to do all we can in free agency because we don't know how the draft is going to go. Yeah. That told me that they weren't sitting there banking on getting anybody in the draft. They weren't taking this, like, cautiously. If they had an opportunity to improve the roster, no matter what it would cost, if it made sense to their plan, they were going to go and do it in free agency if they had conviction and they liked a guy. That's what he said. He said, we're not going to wait on the draft. You have no idea what happens there. So I think that that's something to keep in mind on for like the next couple of free agencies is that if we are looking at holes on this roster, whether it's from retired players, players that we let go, injury, whatever, if there's someone in free agency that fits that Billy, man, we might be able to start getting excited about the Panthers going out and making a push for some of these guys.
One, I got to mention, and again, I apologize if you guys already mentioned this, Rico Dowdle. And I thought it was interesting that Dave Canales said he tried to get him in Tampa Bay. So clearly he was a Rico guy. And then he talked about how he just ripped it off last year, put up 1,000 yards. I think he said he ran violently is one of the words he used. So anyway, I thought that was, you know, a guy, you don't always get these like little tea leaves, but it's interesting how, you know, he still found a way to get him in Carolina in the end. And that's why I love the blueprint. Cause it gives you a whole different perspective than what we're not going to get, on just any other team. So I do appreciate what they've done. I don't think it gets talked about enough and maybe it's not a big deal. And Dan Morgan just doesn't like to talk, but Brant Tillis was basically the talking head for both of these blueprints. Like obviously Dave Canales was heavily involved too, but Brant Tillis, man, I hope he stays here for a while. Cause I like what he's doing so far. But he could be in a position where teams are going to be chomping at the bit to go and get him as their next GM. So he just seems like he's on the forefront of that. What's up?
Joe had a good question.
Are we all sold on Dave?
I'm assuming we're talking about Dave Canales, not Dave Keffer.
Yeah. I'm assuming Canales.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ricky.
No, Bryson, start it off. Are you sold on Dave Canales?
I would say cautiously sold. I think he's done a lot of good things. I think when you look at what happened last season, the second half of the season in particular, tailoring that offense to Bryce Young, and we saw the growth that we've talked about a million times on this podcast. I think that was impressive, and it shows that, you know, it's not a coach or a play caller that's stuck in his ways and wants to run his offense and doesn't, you know, the Frank Reich style, trying to fit a square peg in a round hole in offense. I think I need to see more to be completely sold, like some wins, some actual results on a football field. So I agree with you, Joe. I'm salty about the benching too, but you know, it all worked out in the end. And maybe that's what Bryce needed because we all saw what happened at the end of last season. So I would say cautiously sold on him. I think if he goes into this season and they win 8, 9, 10 games, I mean, I don't know how you can't be with the way when he came into this team came into this franchise, was complete shambles, went through some awful times with questions about if is Bryce going to be here long term. You know, last year at the trade deadline, we thought he might be traded to potentially, you know, playing for a playoff spot in the next season. I mean, that's just speaks for itself. So I would say this season is a big year for Dave Canales and for Bryce Young, and we'll see how it plays out. But right now, I think he's done a lot of things well. I think there are some you know, areas of improvement, specifically in play calling. But right now, I would say I'm cautiously sold.
Yeah, before Ricky goes, just to switch it up here, I'm not going to use the word sold. I'm going to say a deviation. I'm cautiously optimistic. I'm optimistic on how they ended last year. And I still think there's a whole hell of a lot I need to see from Dave Canales, things I've talked about. What do they do when they're up? How does he handle when they're winning games and not coming from behind and winning in overtime? How does he handle some of the stuff we talked about last year? I know we made jokes about it, the donut and stuff, but there were times where he got a little too fancy for his own good, and I think that hurt the team a little bit. So just there's certain situations I want to see how he handles when they are winning, because I think coaches, it's entirely different when you're playing behind, because when you're playing behind, you can play a little bit more free and kind of just throw whatever. And I think when you're up, you need to be pretty damn strategic so teams don't claw their way back into a game. So there are certain things that I want to see. And I also, we talked about it last week, this team needs to start hot. It can't be this, you know, the first four or five games, they're, you know, 1-3 or, you know, 2-4, whatever it is. Like they need to have a hot start, and I want to see that out of them. But you know, I'm kind of past the benching. It obviously it's worked out to this point. So, but yeah, I would say cautiously optimistic.
Well, I don't want to say cautiously sold or cautiously optimistic or anything now that you guys have already covered all the cautiousness. What I would say is that I had a large quantity of doubt about Dave Canales last season. Some of it was just because I didn't trust David Tepper to begin with. And so any move that was made, I was very skeptical, and I was skeptical about Dan Morgan, to be completely candid about it. I think what I love the most about Dave Canales and what is making me feel trusting of him is the way he speaks about football. When you hear him talk about players, it's not just offense, right? We know he's an offensive guru, but you hear him talk about players and how they fit a team. I know that like sometimes fans get almost sick of this, like, what's the right word? Weight put into good character to build a team. There's a lot of fans that are like, I don't really care how good of a guy. I don't really care how nice of a person or whatever. But there is a ecosystem in a locker room. There's an ecosystem within a team. And if you want it to be a family and you want guys to play for each other, they got to believe and they got to buy into that, right? And it starts with the head of the stake, which is the coach. I think that Dave Canales is genuine, man. Like, I didn't know if his whole, like, yeah, I used to drink a lot and hit the strip clubs, and I don't do that anymore. I'm reborn. I didn't know how genuine all that was, or if this was a dude who got caught up, got jammed up, and, you know, is like doing all the right things to make sure that he's not jammed up anymore. But I think that this dude genuinely enjoys every aspect of his life right now. I think he is relishing the opportunity to be a head coach. I think he's done a pretty dang good job. He was handed a really tough situation in his rookie season as a head coach of the NFL of having this underperforming first overall pick quarterback handed to him that he didn't pick. He liked him, but he didn't pick him, man. You got to be honest about that. That wasn't his guy. He didn't hand select him. I think he let him sit. And he did what needed to be done. I know, Joe, you said you're salty about it, but I can't be salty about it if it got results. Like, that's what I look for from coaching, is that if you do something and you push a button and that button turns it to the right place, I can't really be that mad at it, even if I disagreed with the pushing of the button. Like, it worked. You got to build from here. Am I sold? No. We won, what, 4 games last season? I'm never going to be sold until we're winning football games, and then I'm in. So kind of like what Bryson finished his with is, show me the wins, and I'll be sold. But for right now, I believe in the person that Dave Canales is, and I love the way he talks about the game of football. I think you're on mute.
Thank you. Yeah, no Bryson, while we're transitioning here, why don't you show off that shirt a little bit? This was the Roaring Riot.
Sure. I guess I'll stand up for everyone.
Do a little twist and stuff.
so that just came in. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. The new Roaring Riot shirt's 10-year anniversary. They got the 10 on it. Just got it today. I figured I'd wear it. Not sure how I feel about the arm cuffs.
Yeah, it's a ringer tee this year.
Yeah, still getting used to it. It's the same thing around the neck.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I love the logo, the design right here. Probably just something to get used to with the sleeves there. But fits good. Fits good. Comfortable shirt. So I'm excited. At least it doesn't say pounding on it.
It's got a good 70s, 80s vibe with the ringers around like the arms and the neck.
Yeah, it does. It does.
I could appreciate that as a guy who would like to still be around that time.
All right, well, let's get into our grades for the O-line. And so what we kind of did was we broke it up by grouping. So we did tackles, guards, centers, and then we did an overall grade. So we'll start with the tackle position here. And then we have a question at the end. I didn't do a question individually for each, but I'm sure we can talk about it. But here is our offensive tackles, and we're pretty all in the same. Honestly, I think we're pretty even in most of these, give or take like a plus or minus. But let's start with the offensive tackles. And Bryson, let's start with you, and then we can kind of work our way up. And B+. I know I kind of left out some of the backup guys for this, just for the picture's sake. But of this group, what you gave it a B+. Why a B+?
Yeah, I think when you talk about Ikemekwunu, the step he took last season wasn't very impressive. You know, we saw the struggles he had 2 years ago with just consistency overall and specifically pass blocking, you know, just struggling week in and week out with penalties. And then he comes into this season and really just kind of puts it all behind him. And I do need to see it multiple years in a row. Let's see if he can put two good seasons in a row together. But I think there's promise there. He's still super young. He's still learning. I think he's only going to get better, in my opinion. So, you know, in a league that is desperate for good left tackles, I think Ikemekwunu is a great option for Carolina. And, you know, I think he's finally going to fulfill that high draft pick, you know, aura that comes with being drafted that high. So I do like him at the left tackle position. Just need to continue to see him, you know, take those steps in the right direction. And then Taylor Moten, dude. I mean, what else can we say about him? Just the definition of consistency. If you look it up in the dictionary, it's Taylor Moten's picture beside of it. The dude just year in, year out, game in, game out is just there and does his job and doesn't do anything less than that. You know, he is getting older, but I don't think his play fell off really last season at all. Maybe that comes this year or years forward. But as we sit right here right now, I'm very pleased with the tackles that we have at this position. I didn't know I would be the highest grade. I thought I might be one of the lower ones. But yeah, I mean, I'm pleased with these guys. And I think the B+ is fair when you talk about the year they're coming off of and you know, hopefully both of them being 100% healthy throughout the season. I think that these guys are set in their spots, and you know, as long as they maintain health, I would feel very comfortable, you know, through 17 games, you know, with these guys at left tackle and right tackle.
Yeah, before Ricky goes, I do have a question at the end of this about Taylor Moten's comments this week, so don't jump into that at all. Just give me your grades though for this. Ricky, what do you got? Why a B?
You know, actually the B, it's interesting. You talked about like the backup guys that aren't on the graphic, but they still factor in. That's actually why I got up to a B, because I think that Taylor Moten, as good as he's been, right? He's not exemplary necessary. He's not dominant. Like, and I mean that with like all due respect, because I would love him to be our right tackle for as long as he can play, as long as his body holds up and he could give us this level of play. it is absolutely adequate, and it is not like mediocre or anything like that. I would give him a C, but I think he's a B grade player. Like, I don't think that you look at Penei Sewell and Taylor Moten and say, yeah, that's the same kind of player, right? Like, those are two different ball players. But Ike Ekwonu, he still has some proving to do, especially as a pass blocker. I think as a run blocker, Ike Ekwonu is one of the top 7 to 10 offensive tackles as a run blocker. I absolutely love the way that he can block in the ground game. And I think that his pass protection is getting better and sharper and smarter and more cohesive, but it is still an area of need. Where I think they got a bonus from me was re-signing Brady Christensen. As much as crazy as that might sound, Brady Christensen offers a ton of versatility for this team.
He likes Brady. No, listen.
He's still a backup. He is still a backup. I don't want Brady Christensen starting 17 games for me. I would rather have either one of these two playing those positions. But if Brady Christensen has to do a start spot, he can hold up fine at those positions. There are a lot of NFL teams, and we used to be one of them, man. This is why I'm talking about how beautiful it is. There are a lot of NFL teams that when their starting tackle, left or right side, goes down, I mean, the entire front office puckers, like from the bottom up. It is trouble in that room, right? There is a lot of seats that have their leather pulled down.
You muted yourself. There you go.
Happened. They keep saying my mic unplugged. All kinds of shit. anyways, I think that the depth, having the versatility and the option of Brady Christensen is stupendous, because we saw Yosh play a little bit, Yosh Niemann, and I thought he was a little bit underwhelming. And I had high hopes for him coming over from Green Bay because I felt Brady Christensen was a little bit underwhelming, right, at the tackle position. So they've kind of flip-flopped on that, but they are both adequate backups. And if Ike takes a step, the end of the year grade here for these offensive tackles, I would anticipate being closer to that A range if Ike continues to progress, because I think that Taylor Moten will always give you that B to B plus as long as he's healthy.
We'll get to Hernandez here quickly, but I think you guys gave me shit for calling Yosh Yoshi. That's what I call the dude. That's my nickname for him. So you can get off my ass for that. I think I remember you guys saying that.
Oh, it's a nickname now. It's a nickname when you pronounce it.
Are you guys that close? Are you guys that close personally that you can call him Yoshi?
No, but my Packers buddies is referred to him as that. So I think that's where I picked it up. But anyway, back, I was just thinking about that. I'm like, wait, were you guys,
by the way,
weren't these guys giving me shit last week? Anyway, so B, I agree with Ricky with the depth. I think that factored in for me because I'm very high on Brady Christensen. I don't know if I'm as high as Ricky is, and I don't know how high Ricky is on Ekwonu, but I still think Ekwonu.
Oh, I thought you were just asking how high I was right now, but you're talking about a player. Never mind. Okay.
I think Ekwonu has a lot more room to grow, and I do think he improved from last year and took a step, but I still think there's a lot of room for growth, and I think a lot of his game was a product of the guards around him. And what concerns me is, you know, this offensive line for the most part was fairly healthy last year. So when one of these guards go down, which I think is it's going to probably happen at some point, how is he going to do when Zavala's next to him or, you know, one of these other backups? That's my biggest concern with Ekwonu. And then obviously his pass protection, I still think needs improvement. Moten, I've always been high on. I don't need to keep going into that. I do think he's still got some left in the tank, and I know they're trying to manage some of the injuries he's been dealing with, but the dude has been solid. I think his run protection kind of took a dip. I think this past year is not obviously a strong suit, but his pass protection was solid last year. He was like one of the top, I think in the top 20 as far as pass protection among tackles in the league. So yeah, I'm still high on those guys, but yeah, I think with Moten, you know, him dealing with injuries, Ekwonu, I'm not as high on yet. I still think he needs to take another step. And then also, I think there's some decent depth there. That's kind of where I slotting myself in for that B. But I did want to bring this up, and maybe this will answer your question or what you're going to mention here, Ricky. And that was something Zach stole my question, because this week, Taylor Moten had said that he believes he has another contract in him. And obviously he's on the last year of this deal right now, and he's making what, like $31 million this year. So Zachary Hernandez, $10. First, cheers to you again with the super chat. Guys, do not forget, we do have a super chat. It's on YouTube, little money sign. Take advantage of that. We appreciate you, Zachary, again. But he says, would you bring Moten back to a two-year deal that is team player friendly contract? Who are the most underrated offensive linemen in Panthers history? Which I love both of these questions. But Ricky, I know you were wanting to say something, but so go ahead, say what you want to say, and then do you want to answer this question as well?
I was just gonna say, when you talk about Taylor Moten and his run defense opposed to his pass, or run protection as opposed to his pass protection, and then I talk about Icky. It's almost like if you could somehow, you know, like the kids' book Dog Man, where like the dog has the head of a dog, but then a cop's body. If you could somehow do like the top and bottom split and put these two together, where you just got like the physicality and the beastliness, the inhumane strength of Icky Ekwonu and the violent nature of Icky Ekwonu, but with the feet and the awareness and the plan of Taylor Moten, that's how you create like this super offensive tackle, right? Because I do think that that's like the weird, what is the feng shui of these two tackles? Is it one's greatness is one's kind of like adequacy. To answer the question, would I bring back Taylor Moten? Yeah, I just don't know. I think that the front office, though, man, I think that they have real questions about his longevity. And I think that's why they haven't done it. You talk about them being able to clearly open up some cap space, and maybe they still will, right? But I was going to ask you guys before Zach did this awesome super chat and asked this great question. I was going to ask you guys if you don't think it's a little convenient that Taylor Moten's out here talking about like, hey, I still have another contract in me. Because a lot of times when players start bringing up their contracts where they haven't normally talked about their contracts, it's because they're really pushing to get that last one, right? And maybe that's a little bit of Taylor Moten saying, I want some security going in past this year. Because if this is my last year, and if I do have any kind of, whether it's knee or elbow issues or whatever it may be, if he has anything go wrong, man, he's on the wrong side of 30. And the team that has seen him be the item of consistency for their offensive line where everyone else has struggled, they didn't bring him back. They didn't extend him. They didn't figure out a way to keep him here. That's usually like a little bit of a eye opener for other teams around the league. So yeah, would I bring him back? I would. Norwell would probably be my pick there for the most underrated offensive lineman in Panthers history. I think that he's terrific. Taylor Moten, I would love to say, but Taylor Moten, I don't know what he's underrated, man. Like, I think there's a lot of people that really think of him as one of the top three or four offensive linemen to ever play in a Panthers jersey. Trey Turner, I think, is the same way. We talked about Ryan Khalil last episode, I believe it was. And Ryan Khalil would be somebody that I would put up there just because I think that he is outstanding.
Jordan Gross, too.
Yeah, and Jordan Gross, I mean, he's in the hall, right? He's on the Ring of Honor or whatever, isn't he? So it'd probably be tough for me to
say.
Yeah,
I guess that's how you take the question. I guess it's right. How you take the question. Is he underrated among the fan base or underrated across the league?
Yeah, and is it like underrated amongst all players that play for the Panthers, right? Because like you're never going to hear Jordan Gross talked about the way you hear Cam Newton talked about. Like one was an MVP quarterback and one was a left tackle. But Jeff Otal, if he'd have stayed healthy, Jeff Otal was one of my favorite players too, man, because when he was healthy, that was a mean dude too. And then he struggled to stay healthy. But I would probably say Andrew Norwell. Trey Turner, I think, got a lot of notoriety, but he was a fantastic player. And Ryan Khalil would be the other one for me.
Yeah.
Bryson?
Would I bring Taylor Moten back on a two-year deal? I would. You know, I'm a big believer in if it's not broke, don't fix it. I think the consistency he's brought at that position, you know, I just talked about when talking about those tackle grades. Yeah, he's aging. He's 30 years old. I think if you do like a two-year deal, you know, at the end of it, he's 32, 33 maybe. He's been generally healthy throughout his entire career in Carolina. Hopefully those injury concerns don't continue to get worse with age, which is typical, but hopefully not in this case. I think I would, you know, especially if it is a team friendly deal. Absolutely bring him back. Most underrated offensive lineman in Panthers history. Ricky named about every single one that I was going to name. But I'll go with Ryan Khalil because, you know, we're sitting here still after his departure trying to figure out the center position. And, you know, we have a quote-unquote battle going on right now for it. I think, you know, losing him, his leadership on and off the field has really shown throughout the years in Carolina. I don't know if we really appreciated him as much as we should have when he was here. And across the league, I don't think Ryan Khalil really got notification or notoriety like he should have for being that stalwart at the center position, being, if not the best, one of the best centers in the NFL.
Yeah, I'll just go real quick here. I would bring him back on a friendly deal, and I'm going to stick with Moten. I don't think he's talked enough amongst the Panthers fan base, Ricky, honestly. I think there's a lot of people who wouldn't like to see him gone, to be honest with you. So I kind of disagree with you on that. I don't think he's talked about enough. And even through some of the real shit years, these last few years, he was one of the most consistent players across the board. So I do want to get to this super chat quick, and then we'll get to some of these other folks. Making True Money, we appreciate you. Sorry I'm late, fellas. What's up?
Not Making True Money.
Cheers, man. True Money.
Let us know what you think of the logo. Cheers. Appreciate you.
Got you.
Yeah, beer. I like this little cutout. You can really see my beer in this. This is
cool. Yeah, it's nice, though. Right. Yeah, look at us. 21st Century Podcast.
Look at us. I'm thinking of that little gif where he's like, look at us.
Paul Rudd on the hot ones? Yeah, you betcha.
This is a good question, and this is probably what I've been trying to say, but I don't know how to say it properly. And Justin K, how much of Icky's better play is because of the better play at guard? I think that's a fair question to ask.
Yeah, I think it's a lot. I think a lot of it is about who's around you, right? What do we talk about so often? Offensive line is a unit.
Yeah.
Right? Like familiarity, communication, trusting that the other guy next to you, you don't have to compensate for him. And I mean the scheme itself, right? Like they're asking him to do things that he's more athletically capable of doing. They're working on his drops, they're working on his urgency. I mean, there are deliberate things they're doing, but having a guy like Damian Lewis after the year he had, having him play next to you, man, it's never gonna make you look worse. I can promise you that much, right? It's like if I'm standing next to Bryson, like no one's gonna say that's two ugly guys. They're just gonna say, hey, that's a good looking guy standing next to Ricky. You know what I mean? Like, at least that's going to happen. So, like, that's the way I like to think of it. Like, Icky is never going to look worse standing next to his own version of Bryson.
Yeah. And I don't think that's a knock on Icky at all. Like you mentioned, Ricky, it's a unit. You know, you work together. And, you know, having a good guard play beside of him, you know, improving his game is not a knock. You know, when you have last season Chandler Zavala starting, who got a 0 PFF grade, the lowest graded guard play ever from PFF, to someone that is consistently playing well in Damian Lewis, probably the best he's played in his career. We mentioned it last week. I think that's only going to improve your play, you know, opposite or beside of him. So I don't think it's necessarily a knock on Icky, but, you know, when the unit together is functioning and that communication is there, you just feel better, right? You're more confident in your teammates beside of you, and I think that aids into Icky's play as well.
I do want to shout out James Cody here. God, you're late, but I want to say congrats on getting 1,000 subs. Y'all have become my favorite Panthers podcast. It's not even close. Very kind words, James.
Thank you, James.
You've tuned in these last couple episodes as well. So we appreciate it. We'll get to this. Let's just real quick here. I personally think he is going to be an option to replace him. I know Ricky maybe thinks otherwise in Brady. He said a little while ago they thought he was a backup. But I do think Brady, given the opportunity, could step into that role. And I want to go back because I didn't touch on this. I do agree with Ricky that I do think the staff is pretty concerned with Moten's health. And I think it's pretty damn clear that, you know, he is teetering on this is going to be his last year in Carolina. I think it just seems too obvious to me at this point. I mean, obviously other things could happen, but I agree with what you said before on that, because I think that's I think that's likely the case, honestly.
Yep. And I do want to get, there's a question on here. Let's talk about this for a second. Joshua Andrews, does anyone know if the 1,000 giveaway is tonight? Well, Joshua, now that you bring it up, let's talk about it, man. Curtis, if you will, swing us back to a view where you could see behind me for 1 second. You guys see that Musim Muhammad jersey back there behind me? That has a signature by Musim Muhammad on the 7 right back there. That is going to be what we will be giving away for our 1,000 subscriber mile mark that we finally hit. Out of appreciation just for you guys, that is a jersey that I won at a raffle at the You Deserve a Chance Foundation Home Plate Gala here in Charlotte. A terrific organization run by a guy that I know, Jeff Schaefer, who used to play for the Seattle Mariners. Actually played with Griffey Jr. and Senior at the same time. You want to talk about a guy that's got a lot of cool stories, man. Schaefer's got him. But they had a lot of really cool sports memorabilia. That one was one. I think we also won like a giant basket of whiskey, which, hey, what do you know? That went hand in hand of why I was just aimlessly gambling on a Musim Muhammad jersey that I could have just got on eBay for about $200 less. But anyways, it's just been kind of hanging out. So what I would love to do is find that thing a good home. And I do have one other surprise that I want to give about that. I'm going to get that framed for the winter. And I'm going to package that thing up real safe and get you. This thing is going to be a turnkey. Hang it on the man cave. You don't got to do anything. Don't drop any money on anything. Don't let it sit in your closet the way it sat in mine. We're going to get this thing hooked up for you. And we are not going to do the drawing tonight, Joshua. But we are going to open up the, what do you want to say, entries, if you will. We're going to come up with an idea of what we want people to do. Tag us on either YouTube, showing that you have a subscription and that you subscribe and that you follow us on YouTube, because I know not everybody has Twitter. If you have Twitter and you follow us there and also are subscribed as one of the 1,000, send us a post with the screenshot showing that you are subscribed and that you follow, and we will make entries for every single person. And I think, hey, maybe in like, what, 2 weeks, boys? Y'all think that sounds about right? Give a couple weeks. I mean, this is a good item, and I want a lot of people to have a chance at it. And if you do a super chat on the day of that episode, we'll give you an extra, what, 3 maybe entries or something like that. I don't want to do 5 because I don't want people to get like completely lost with their one if they don't do super chats and they can't catch it live. So maybe like an extra 2 or 3, something like that. We'll figure out the fairness of all that. But we will give you an incentive, man. Come on the live and we'll do it. We might even have a cool guest or something for that episode. I don't know. We'll do it real big, man. Look, we got a new logo. We got a new background and all this cool stuff, man. We're going to try to just go full gas, or, you know, pedal to the metal, all gas, no brakes for the foreseeable future on Panthers on Tap.
I love it. All right, let's get to our guards here. And I think this might have been the highest grade we had. Might be the highest grade we have in this entire grading system as we go through here. So Bryson, A plus, A for Ricky and I. Bryson, let's start with you on this. Or did we, I think we started with you last time.
Start with you, Curtis.
Yeah, let's start with me. So I don't know if I'd ever give out an A plus. It's really for me to do that. But with that said, I think the one position that Carolina had a turnstile amount of players at in 2023, Dan Morgan went out and said what he was going to do, and he solidified the offensive line. And I remember last year during our episodes and during the games, we talked about a lot of things. The one thing we didn't talk about a lot or enough of was how well the offensive line played, because we were too busy talking about how shitty the rest of the team was. And this was the one area of this team that shined out, and it had to do in a major part to these two guys. I was skeptical of the Damian Lewis hire when it happened last year, the signing, and he played outstanding. I honestly didn't realize how well physically he played before looking at some of his stuff the last couple of weeks. So I thought he was outstanding, and I think Robert Hunt, obviously he had the Pro Bowl year last year. He was outstanding too. Both of these guys were, and I think they were a big part of, and we've kind of talked about this, how well Ike Ekwonu's played. I think they're a big part of how the centers played, a guy who never played center in the NFL in a regular season game in Corbett, and then Cade Mays, who never played a center snap in the NFL, and they both played serviceable. So I think these guys deserve a lot of that credit, along with those dudes as well. But across the board, these two played outstanding, and honestly, late in the season were a big part of why Bryce Young had success, because these guys were locking down the middle for him, and I think that was huge for his growth. So, yeah, outstanding group. I don't know how you can grade this group any lower or any lower than an A. I don't. I think they were outstanding.
Yeah, and I'll go and I'll answer for my A plus. I'm not going to go through a whole 4, 5, 6 weeks of grading and not give the best positional group, in my opinion, on the Panthers an A plus. I think that these guys in particular deserve it. Maybe I'm biased as a Panthers fan, but when we talk about last season and what we've been through as a franchise at this position in particular, you bring in Robert Hunt, you bring in Damian Lewis, and they grab the bull by the horns and solidify that position for years to come in year one in the franchise. And Robert Hunt comes in and is a leader day one, setting the tone for that offensive line. And Damian Lewis does as well with his style of play, being a more aggressive guard. I think we saw the not only just the ability of the offensive line improve as a whole, but the quarterback play improve because of this offensive line. And I think these two guards have a large part to play in that as well. So I think when you talk about Robert Hunt, in my opinion, he's a top 5 to 10 guard in this league. I think you would be hard pressed to convince me otherwise. Damian Lewis, we've talked about, had his best season as a pro in our jersey in his first season, and I think can continue to get better year in and year out. So I think with overall, this is my highest rated positional group on the team. I think Dan Morgan killed it with the signings to solidify this position in an area that needed it desperately. The offensive line as a whole is my highest graded room as well on this team. So I look at these guards and I'm just, I just have belief week in and week out that these guys are going to get the job done. And we're not going to be looking at them at the end of the game and say, you didn't do your job and that's why we lost, because I have belief that these guys are some of the best at their position in the entire NFL. So I gave them an A plus. You know, maybe I'm crazy or biased, but I think when you talk about the team as a whole, these two guys at their certain positions, it's hard to find two better dudes to grade than these two guys.
I don't think you're crazy. I get it. Robert Hunt, I think, left some to be desired as a individual pass protector last season. But I also think that what he did, and you nailed it, Bryson, and we've talked about this before, the tone setting, the mentality that he not only brought, but instilled, man, across that entire unit. And yeah, Damian Lewis is a physical guy too. But like, I saw Cade Mays getting after people when he was playing center. I saw him getting nasty. I did see Taylor Moton even every now and then, man. You know, it's almost like Rob, like, put a little bit of that nasty dust on Taylor's shoulder every now and then, and Taylor kind of threw a little like forearm into somebody. And I was like, hey, I ain't seen that in like 7 years of watching Taylor play. But you know, hey, you see Rob doing it all the time. He's getting that second level and he's just bulldozing people, man. Like, reminds me of like a toddler, right? That like his favorite truck is a bulldozer, and he just runs around yelling bulldozer constantly. Like, he hits something, just goes bulldozer. Like, that's Robert Hunt. Like, I feel like he's just out there on the field running over people yelling bulldozer. And it's a lot of fun to watch. The other reason I gave it an A instead of an A plus, though, is that the depth of the guard position, I think, is where I have questions, but not necessarily like fear, if that makes sense. I'm going to talk about Brady Christensen, man. This is the Brady Christensen episode for me. I don't know what the hell has happened, but this is
it. Yeah, we got to cut this. I am going to cut this and keep this in the back. Huh?
No, but listen, Brady Christensen. The next episode, Ricky, is going to have to be the Cho Smith Wade episode.
All right, listen now. I'm not doing this with you, Bryson. Not on this momentous day. Not on this very fun day. I won't do it. Especially not while you drink out of that incredibly good-looking koozie. But Chris Dillard asked in the chat earlier too. He's like, you know, I've seen people talk about Brady, Chris said, being the successor to Moten. Y'all think he could be the future right tackle? This ties into that for me with Chris. I'm not sure, man, because I think that he's such a valuable utility offensive lineman. I'm not sure that I want him to be my starter at right tackle, because I'm not sure that he's anything more than an average to slightly above average 17-game starter, at least on the right side, because he's not an overly physical player either, right? I think that his nimble feet, I think that his – I know he doesn't have the longest arms, but, man, he times his punches. He times his hands really well. He doesn't do a ton of guessing. He's you know, stays with his even pads. I mean, he plays a pretty smart brand of football. But him as the utility guard, left or right guard, if one of them is hurt and Brady has to fill in, I feel pretty good about that. They seem to like Chandler Zavala a lot more than what they did his rookie season. I know he's also taking snaps at center, but that plays a little bit into my guard idea, right? Because you got Austin Corbett, who was a pretty dang good guard before he came over and tried to play center, right? That if Cade Mays were to win that center position, and I don't know what's going to happen with that, that is an honest-to-God open competition in my mind. And whoever doesn't win that competition, I think that they're also your backup guard. So, like, there are utility players on the depth chart here that can play multiple positions, but I think they're the best at guard. So if one of these guys gets hurt, I think you got answers. I just don't think they're like clear-cut, defined role answers. So I give it an A instead of an A-plus just because of the unsurety there. But if it was just going off of these starters, look, man, you'd be hard-pressed to find me two guys for the same amount of money that came in and did what they did for this team that I would want more. Sure, you could look at like rookies or something because of their budget costs, but like Robert Hunt is one of the best. Bryson said it. He is one of the best offensive guards in the NFL. You can say that his pass protection wasn't exemplary. It's okay, man. He was great at every other thing, and he was pretty dang decent at the pass protection. And I think that that's going to get better. I think that when you have the consistency of Bryce Young back there, you know what he does. You know what he's asking you to do. You have plays and concepts that are brought up for what Bryce Young does well, and with the receivers that you have. I mean, all of these things play a part in each other. It's not just, hey, hold up an individual block. Like, he gets out, he moves, he pulls, he reaches to the second level a lot. Those are things that not every guard in the NFL can do. So I think that these are terrific starters. My A is because of that mainly.
Going back to your conversation about depth, I tend to agree with you in the aspect of I'm confident in these backups for a game or two. I can't rely on guys for 17 games. It would scare the hell out of me. Outside of Brady Christensen, I'm confident in Brady Christensen where he could play in along the offensive line and do a pretty damn or a serviceable job at least at that spot, whether it is a guard or a tackle. Honestly, I think he's pretty damn versatile. But the one thing that I do like about the depth is most of these guys had a 17 game season. Like, these guys were the previous starters of this team because they were so bad on the offensive line. So that I like. I think there's value in that because they have so many game reps already that they're not coming in with, you know, one or two games under their belt. They're coming in with literally a full season. So that I think there is value in that, as much as that sucked at the time. I think that is beneficial now. So I just wanted to mention that point. But let's go to the centers here. And, yeah, this is pretty – I think this is the weakest part of the offensive line. And I think that's pretty obvious. I really any fan.
You get some Bryce pushback. I think people would say left tackle is just as weak.
Really?
I think people don't believe in Icky.
Okay. I mean, you're right. I mean, there is general hate out there for Icky, no matter what. Like, even when before he was drafted,
genuinely hated when, didn't you call me out with something? You were like, no, Ricky, I don't think that either. Like, you didn't earlier this episode, you called me by name talking about Icky or something like that because I said that I trusted Icky more. And you were like, no, vehemently, Ricky, I don't like Icky.
I don't remember, maybe.
It might have been your internet.
But I didn't, like, I liked the Icky pick at the time. You go back, like when the draft happened, that was the guy I wanted out of him and Neil and whoever the other one was. That's escaping me. But anyway, Bryson, we'll start with you on this one. Ricky, did we start with you yet?
Well, you should go Bryson though, because Bryce is B plus Bryson here on these centers, man. Like,
all right, Bryson, hit us. Why? And by the way, this took me forever to find fucking photos of these two in game action or like with helmets on. It was almost impossible. And Corbett's played on this team forever. But anyway, that's just a whole other side note. But Bryson, why a B plus?
Yeah, I'm going to start with, okay, if this position is healthy, which I hope that it is, we saw what happened last season when Corbett came in, statistically played at like a top 10 caliber center in the NFL. When you talk about PFF grades and other grades across different analytical outlets. So that's primarily where my grade comes from, is hoping that he's healthy and that he's the starter. I don't agree with Ricky. I don't think it's an open competition. I think it's Austin Corbett's job, and they're kind of, it's just, they're saying it to say it to kind of keep the hopes up of the other guys in the room. But I think Corbett is your starter. And I think if he's your starter, you're comfortable with that based off of what you saw last season. So B plus comes from that. Now, when you talk about the depth behind him, lack of experience at the position, I can see where you guys are coming from for sure. But I just, as a whole, like I said, this unit is the highest graded unit on this team for me. And I just didn't feel comfortable putting a C grade anywhere on this offensive line. So maybe I could have went B, but maybe I was a little overzealous at this spot. I like Corbett a lot. 29 years old. He is coming off some major injuries. So hopefully he plays to that level that we saw when he started at this position last year. I think that he can. And if he does, then this is not a weak link on the offensive line at all, in my opinion. I think he continues to the level he was last season when he was healthy. This is another solid position for the Carolina Panthers.
I factored in the big asterisks that you kept talking about.
Same.
And that's if he can stay healthy, right? Like, Curtis, you were just talking about it. You're like, man, this guy's played for this team for years, and I can't find a damn picture of him in action. You know why, Curtis? Because he's been in action a whole ton. Like, at least not the last couple of years. And I like Corbs, man. So, Bryson, when I said – and again, man, you seemed very angry at me when you did that. You were like, I disagree with Ricky. But I'm going to look past the other way. It's okay, man.
No, I'm not mad at all. I love you.
Oh, thanks, man. See, look, we make up so quick. But I think that, like, Corbett, he's probably the more talented player. I think that he's a better mover than Cade Mays. But I think that Cade Mays did appeal a lot to the offensive line coach and even to Canales a little bit because of what he did as a mauler and as this, like, space eater right there that's an anchor in the middle of this offensive line. That maybe it's the veteran leadership of a Robert Hunt and a Taylor Moten that makes it not as imperative for that center to be the key cog there in the middle. But now when Corbett's healthy and he's good, man, I think, look, he's the guy that can get out on screens. He's the guy that's going to be touching the safety right before the running back is in there. He can pace his runs and he can pace his track and let Corbett get out there because he's got the movement, skill, and ability to get there. But he can't stay healthy, man. And the other thing that I factored into this, Cade Mays was good, but Cade Mays wasn't great. And we've seen Cade Mays also not play terrifically in some games. Then I think about what we had our, you know, Charlotte Observer beat reporters, Alex Zetlow, Mike Kay. We've seen other people float this idea of there are teams that need a center. And if the Carolina Panthers decide to ship one off, right? Try to recoup somebody, maybe a mid-level corner or safety depth or something like that. If they were to ship one of these guys off, let's say they ship Cade Mays because Austin Corbett does what Bryson thinks he's going to do and wins that center job. If that happens and Corbett goes down in week two, guess who's playing center for you? It's either Brady Christensen or it's Chandler Zavala playing a position that he ain't played before. And if you put Brady Christensen there, then all that really cool, awesome, feel good, you know, like the end of a rom-com when Drew Barrymore finally gets kissed in the high school locker room or whatever it is, all that good feeling It goes out the window when Brady Christensen ain't available to play six different positions on a five-position unit. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that when I put the C+, I said there is potential here, and if Corbett can stay healthy for an entire year, I feel great about that, and I would gladly put this up to a B to B+ right there with Bryson. I would like to be the same grade as Bryson. Bryson's a happier person than I am. I'd like to do more things that Bryson does in his life. But
that's just not true. I'm not a happier person.
Sure it is. You certainly are. No, look at you. You got a Ringer t-shirt on, man. You just look you look so happy to be here, and I'm happy to be around you. Again, this is my Damian Lewis to my Icky, right? Like, he's just really helping me out here. But I think that if everything goes smashingly and healthy and the way it's supposed to go, cool. This is a B+ room, B room. But we haven't seen it go that way in 2 years.
Yeah, I can't get there with the health of Corbett. I think he's one of the – what's the word for it? One of the top leaders of this entire team, honestly, just locker room presence-wise. I think he teaches a lot, not even in the offensive line room. I think has a lot of value, just, you know, his experience in the NFL and playing on a Super Bowl team in LA. But I mean, we're talking 2-3 years in a row where he's had major injuries that he's only played a handful of games in. Now, Bryson's right. He was in the top like 15 or 10 when he was healthy. But that's a really big if for me. And then Cade Mays, I thought Cade Mays was serviceable. I think he's a product of his environment. I agree with someone in the chat here. I think it was Making True Money. He said, as long as you have four good setters, they can mask the fifth weakest length. And I tend to agree with that. I'm not as high, I think, on Cade Mays as other folks are. I thought last year there was numerous games, and resurfaced in my mind recently. I think Monty shared the video of Bryce Young and just all highlights basically of Bryce Young over the last year. It was like a 4 or 5 minute clip. And what resurfaced was all the bad snaps Cade Mays had. He had a ton of bad snaps last year that Bryce Young ended up catching, but they were a fingertip or two away from being fumbles. Yep. So I have a hard time getting over that. And that always sticks in the back of my mind with him. And maybe, you know, now that he's got a year under his belt at the position, he'll be a little bit better with that. But I have a hard time getting over that. So that is one thing I think he truly needs to work on. Because, again, a couple of those snaps could have went the other way, and we're talking about a whole different game and more fumbles and more turnovers. So I do think this is the weakest link of this entire group. And while I think this group is serviceable, if they aren't healthy, it concerns me. So.
Yeah. And shout out Black and Blue here for this question, because Luke Kander is a guy that, you know, I had a fourth round grade on coming out of this class, and we ended up picking him up as an undrafted free agent. He says, isn't Luke Kander a potential center? Yeah, I think so, Black and Blue. But Luke Kander is also a potential practice squad player. Luke Kander is also a potential cut that gets picked up by another team, because when you watch – so when I saw, like, the training, the OTA photos and stuff like that, right? They had a photo that showed the center group taking snaps. I mean, they have Chandler Zavala taking snaps. There is something within that building that there's going to be a competition for all of those guys. And Chandler Zavala is a guy that showed improvement last season. Chandler Zavala is a guy that has a draft capital tied to him in being here on this team, right? So, like, there are reasons to think that if Chandler has the flexibility to play guard and center, and it's between him and Luke Kandra, and it's kind of neck and neck, they likely side with Chandler Zavala, who's played here and has more experience, and try to hide Luke Kandra on the practice squad and hope that another team doesn't come and poach him and bring him in there to develop him too. But, like, I can't bank any of these grades on the fourth potential guy on a depth chart that may not make the initial 90, let alone the 53. You know what I'm saying? So, like, for me, that was a tough one to factor in. But I do appreciate that bringing up his name a lot, because that's a guy that I like. And if they can develop him, I think he's got the potential to be an NFL player.
Let's move to the overall group as a whole. And I do have a question here. I don't even remember what the hell it is. Oh, here we go. So the offensive line. So across the board, again, I figured this was going to be on the higher end, and it should be. They played really well last year. We can go into the grades, but I feel like we've covered that a lot. And my question is, do you think the offensive line takes a step forward or backward? Because they did play at a pretty damn high level last year, and that was with not a lot of injuries. So you're asking a lot out of a group to come in and be as healthy as they were last year. So with that, you can go on your grades if you want. If you think you covered it, that's fine with me, because I think we did, honestly, going through these groups. But let's answer that question. Ricky, we'll start with you.
Forward. Very much so forward. I think this is the very first time that we have had an entire unit play the majority of a season together and then all come back under the same offensive line coach, under the same offensive coordinator, with a quarterback that they believe in and with added threats as weapons. All of that and added threats in the run, in the backfield behind these guys who move everybody, and a tight end that can tether to their end of their line as well and give them bonus reinforcements. Yeah, step forward for me. And not even just a small one. This was a top 14 unit, I would call it, last year. I know a lot of people like to say like top 10. I think they were outside of the top 10, to be completely honest. I think they had some games where they were very underwhelming, and great offensive lines like the Eagles, right? Like the Ravens. They don't have those underwhelming big time, like, just losses, right? Where they just get manhandled and get defeated. I think we're about to see that from this offensive line. I don't think they're ever going to look like shit in this group if everyone is healthy. I don't think you see this unit play like shit. I think you might see them not play outstanding, but you are always going to see a competent, competitive, smart offensive line this year for the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah, this team will go as the offensive line goes. I think if they take a step backwards, there's something terribly, terribly wrong that's happened, whether it be an injury or Icky's, growth taking a step backwards and not moving forward like we all hope. I think a step forward is the only answer, correct answer. And like Ricky mentioned, they're returning a whole entire cohesive unit for the first time in forever with the same coach, offensive line coach and head coach. So I think a step forward is the only logical answer here. And hopefully that's what happens, because like I said, if not, then this team might not be as good as we hope they are.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm teetering in the middle, but I don't want to – I'm trying to divert to always being so fucking negative. I do think they should take a step forward.
You're trying to step away from being negative? Hold on. You just glossed over the big part of this? You're trying not to be negative?
I do. Listen.
Well, let me ask you, even if they don't take a step forward, if they maintain the same level of play from last season, is that a successful year for you?
Yeah, ooh, absolutely. They're outstanding last year. Outstanding. I mean, they cut sacks in half. I mean, it was night and day. So, yeah, I would say that's solid as hell. I don't know if that's a step forward. I think that's just baseline, but they should take a step forward. You're bringing all your depth back. You're still keeping all your starters. There's no reason why you don't improve in a year. And this is how I'll phrase this. I think injuries are going to happen. I don't think you're going to have a healthy offensive line all year long. I don't think you're going to have those guards all year long, like majority of the season you did last year. I remember in training camp, there was a scare. Robert Hunt, we were at the practice, went down. That was a slip a different way to be, and he might be out the entire season. So I think you have to take that consideration. I think that's what will happen. If there is an injury, it's going to be a step back from what they were. And I'm hoping that doesn't happen, but projecting a little bit, I think across the board, I don't think this offense line is going to be healthy as much as they were last year. I just think that's just the way of the NFL. It just never works out that way usually. So, but they should, like, this, they're returning everyone. They played really well. So I'm going to stick to the positive end. I think they should take a step this year.
You know what I look at it as? I'll give one more analogy here to close out the night, but this team last year was able to dominate by just doing like their butterfly stroke and their free stroke, right? It was strength that won a lot of their stuff. This year, it's almost like watching them race the 400 IM. I think you're going to see them use every single stroke in the arsenal to win the match. I think you're going to be able to see a little bit more finesse, a little bit of, you know, breaststroke, a little bit of backstroke. There's going to be a little bit of like technique to it. I think that that is the development that you look for in the offensive line. And it's not just being the strongest and the fastest, right? There's also actually doing things the right way, doing it at the right time, timing that flip into the wall and that kickoff so that you could get a little bit of momentum to beat the competition a little bit more. The little nuance is where I think you see development in year one and two of being with the same exact unit with the same coach and the same offensive scheme. Those are little details that you don't even get to focus on when you're getting coached right away, right? There's like the basics. There's like, hey, look, here's what you need to learn. And then here's how we need to execute these parts. But now going into it, they're going to say, all right, look, man, you did this well, but can you be better for me? Can I throw you out there and you do every single thing that I'm asking you? Can we open this up more? Can we become an elite unit and not just one of those, hey, dude, they're pretty good. They want to be talked about as elite. I think they have to do every single thing that they can and use every single technique in the toolbox to do it. Muted again.
Yep, I was trying. Sorry, I was checking our Twitter out.
You look like you were really talking good, though, man. I think you probably just missed the best part.
I thought there was one more thing I wanted to talk about, but it clearly wasn't that important. I think we're going to end it here. We appreciate everyone tuning in. Over 650 folks watching us live at 10:30. We appreciate it again, man. We're on these record short episodes here. This is a new territory for us. But next week, we're going to be talking defensive line and linebackers, and then we'll close it out with the secondary. And we have to squeeze special teams, and you can't forget about special teams. We got to squeeze it in. So we'll probably do that the last week right before training camp starts, and then training camp is here, and we'll be off and rolling again. We're hoping to get some guests on here in the coming weeks, so stick tuned for that. Also, the awesome giveaway. You see that jersey over, I think, Ricky's left shoulder, right?
Nice call. Yeah, look at you.
There we go. So
you can hold your hands up and tell which one makes an L, huh?
We're doing a giveaway, the Musi Muhammad signed jersey, that is. So you have to send a screenshot on Twitter or YouTube of your subscription to the channel to enter. We'll also do a super chat when we drop it live, when we actually do the drawing for it, that episode. Super chat will get you a couple more entries, but we're going to keep it fair for everyone so you all get a chance at that awesome jersey that Ricky so graciously is going to give away, and it will be framed. So that's even a step up from just giving you the jersey. So we appreciate Ricky for doing that. But yeah, we got some good things coming up here. We're excited, and we appreciate everyone tuning into this, I would say, monumental episode for us with some rebranding and everything else. And look, you know, hopefully maybe we can shoot for by the start of the season or maybe earlier. We have merchandise ready for you guys, ready to roll, and we can get some things rolling. But we appreciate your guys' support. Again, 1,000 subscribers. Thank every single one of you who has, you know, graciously supported us on this journey. And until then, enjoy your 4th of July. And as always, keep pounding.